Hello, welcome to the first of many, hopefully, Better Fire Protection podcasts. My name's Rob Bolton. I work as Better Fire's client manager. And today we're going to cover the topic of the fire safety reforms that are taking place in New South Wales. The podcast is only going to go for 10 minutes, so it won't be too long. And hopefully you can pick up some insightful information that will help you with your role. And that's what this podcast is intended to do. But to do this, we need the expertise of a couple of my colleagues. Firstly, Better Fire's key account manager, Derek Pickup. Hello, Derek.
Hi, how are we today?
And also joined too by a lovely chap, and that's the owner of Better Fire Protection, Rob Newcombe. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
So I've written a few bullet points that can guide us through today's narrative about the changes. They are, number one, enhanced review process. Number two, independent checker assessment. Number three, standardized documentation. And number four, mandatory maintenance procedures. There's a tongue twister for you. Australian Standards 1851. But before we cover each category, Rob, why are these changes taking place?
These changes are really important for the fire industry. There's been some real inconsistency with how fire protection companies have been approaching fire safety. So I think these measures are really going to help provide a good level of service to current building owners and new building owners.
And I guess the question off the back of that must be, will this mean conformity amongst the industry?
So there's been a slow progression to these changes. So we've seen a few years ago where to endorse an annual fire safety statement every year, you needed to be accredited. So that has been around for some time, and Better Fire Protection has majority of its service technicians are accredited to endorse measures every year. The new things we're starting to see, so next year will be, you'll need to be accredited to sign off on the install, so for new buildings. And we'll slowly start seeing more and more of these accreditation schemes coming out where you'll need to be accredited to do repairs, commissioning, training, and even inspect and test itself.
And Derek, you're at the coalface, so I guess we should ask the question, when should our listeners start preparing for this?
Well, there's no time like the present, really. We have until 2025 to get the ball rolling. So if I was a strata manager or on a member of an EC, I'd be hoping to have conversations around what the changes are and how it's going to affect us as a committee and as a strata plan, certainly on a financial level, but it's going to increase some of the servicing costs. So I really would like to be forecasting that into my budget so we can make sure we have enough levies there available to meet those servicing requirements.
So Rob, talk to me about the enhanced review process.
Most buildings are built complying with the National Code of Construction, but occasionally that model doesn't quite work and a fire engineer will develop an alternate solution. So it's really important for the fire brigade in particular as well that they're involved in that process, so that when they, or if they need to attend a fire, even when the building seems like it's different from other buildings because it's got this alternate solution in place, they have an oversight of what the systems are and how they differ from standard buildings.
Independent checker assessment, Derek. Where do we stand on that one?
Basically, what they're suggesting now is an independent checker will have to come in and review those fire safety measures or ESMs that have been installed to ensure that they comply with the installation standards.
And Rob, is that going to slow the process down or will it actually be of benefit to all our clients?
So it may slow down the process a little bit. It'd be an extra step that we have to perform. But ultimately, it's going to mean we have a much more consistent installation and identify problems that we're finding anyway later down the track, and it's taking longer to fix those problems up. So if we can find them at the source, it should save time in the long run.
Standardized documentation. Now, this clearly needs to be a winner, doesn't it? Ticks all the boxes, this one.
Yeah, I think the standard documentation has been really useful because we've got a lot of fire companies have been doing it their own way. So I think to have all the fire companies filling out the same forms across different types of building and different councils is really important.
So can I ask, Rob, just sort of playing devil's advocate for a second, will this increase costs within the industry?
Ideally, it shouldn't increase costs at all because 1851 has been the standard we've been using for many, many years. So where those have been followed, those buildings have been following that standard, there shouldn't be any additional cost.
Okay, great.
However, we might say, see some buildings hadn't been doing some of the 5-year lease, and so there might be some extra cost in that area, but only if they haven't been following 1851.
And behind that, I guess mandatory maintenance procedures kind of slot in.
Yeah, so I think this is the probably for certainly from a fire maintenance company point of view, this is probably the biggest change. Using 1851 for many, many years, but it is still been a recommendation, a guideline that building owners have to follow when they're maintaining buildings. As of 2025, we'll then need to actually nominate which maintenance standard we're applying on the annual fire safety statements. So this is going to change. Hopefully, it won't change too much, but yeah, it's going to certainly mean that some of the standards that were being missed before, some of the frequencies, so either the 6 monthly or even 5 yearly, 10 yearly, 25 yearly, those will now need to be done and can't be overlooked, even if the system is still meeting the minimum standard of performance.
So is the standard still AS 1851, or are things about to change?
The standard is still AS 1851. It's the same standard we've been using for more than 10 years. It will still be the standard that we'll be using going forward, but it will now be referenced on the annual fire safety statement.
Has Better Fire been preparing for these changes, Derek?
Better Fire Protection for a number of years now have been providing advice to our clients and costings for the 5 and 10 yearly service levels of fire safety assets. This allows them to forecast those costs in the coming years and get the ball rolling.
So I guess I've got to ask the question, who's going to be affected by these reforms? Is it just single households, businesses, larger residentials, or commercial properties?
Well, it does depend on whether they have a fire safety schedule in place for the property. Although an owner of a building or premises does have a requirement to follow 1851 for fire service inspections and testing. But the catalyst will be that fire safety statement. So if a business is currently submitting, you'd have to look a bit further into what type of fire safety assets are on the particular schedule or on the property. And some of those assets do have a higher level of servicing requirements,
Okay.
which will obviously come into play.
Thanks, Derek. Rob, anything to add on that one?
Yeah, the reforms really are to do with annual fire safety statements, and annual fire safety statements are only required for Class 2 buildings, which is multi-dwelling residential and above, so commercial, office, retail. So standalone houses aren't really going to be affected.
So, in summary, we've kind of covered the 4 points there. Just to conclude, Derek, anything you want to add?
We understand navigating compliance can be challenging. If you're seeking clarification or want a discussion around your specific needs, then we're here to help. It doesn't matter if you're a customer or not, just give us a call. We're happy to have a chat.
Rob, any conclusion from you?
Moving forward, these reforms are long overdue. We really have struggled in the industry to provide a consistent service to building owners. And there's a lot of confusion and a lot of, we say, substandard work that's happened. So these reforms are a step in the right direction and really are important to make sure we are providing a great service and people are being protected.
Okay, that's it. We'll be back soon for another fire compliance topic. For any suggestions you'd like us to cover, please reach out to us via the email you'll find in the description to this pod. You can also find mine, Rob's, and Derek's contact details. So if you have any questions on fire compliance, we're more than happy to help. Also, there's a link to the Better Fire website where you'll find a plethora of useful information. Please feel free to share the podcast with your colleagues so we can all endeavor to help as many people in their roles as we can. A big thank you to Rob.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And a big thank you to Derek.
Thanks very much, guys.
My name's Rob Bolton, and it's a goodbye from me. We'll see you all soon from here at Better Fire Protection. Bye bye.